screen, though. So this morning, would you join me in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Last book, last chapter, Revelation chapter 22. And we'll make our confession here. The words are on the screen. We invite those of you join us online. We thank God for everyone who joins us online. Maybe you can't be here because of in a different state or whatever the situation might be, but you join us either live online or you go back and watch the service. For example, those who are involved in the children's ministry, they can't be in two places at once, but the website gives them a chance to be able to participate somewhat and stay connected with the messages and the service. So if you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Jesus says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." The message this morning, in the time that we have, just like to center on this one truth based on these words. He says, I'm coming quickly. He says, my reward is with me. This morning's message is simply this: faithfulness now brings blessings forever. Faithfulness now brings blessings forever. And I hope that will be an encouragement to all of us here today to be faithful to the Lord, that how we live in this life does matter. And last week I shared a message called, Are You Ready to Meet the Lord? And we looked at just three commandments that the Bible gives us that will help us to stay close to the Lord, first of all, and keep us in that place where we're always ready to meet him. And I said last week, and I'll say it again today, and God willing, next week when we conclude on this series, that we don't know all the details of the Lord's second coming. The Lord gave us enough details in his word so that we're always ready. He said to occupy. He said to do business until I come. Not to try to guess when he's coming and go sit up on a mountain somewhere and isolate ourselves from people, as some have done over the years, and missed what God would have had for them. No, God wants us to be fruitful and be engaged and faithful until that time we meet him, whether it's by death or the second coming. So God gives us not only details to help us be ready, but he does give us signs to look for so that we know we're getting closer to the second coming of Jesus. And this morning I posted an article on our website. It's called What Will Happen When Jesus Returns. So let me, in fact, it's in your bulletin. It's just the initials of the church, CLM Family, CLMFAMILY.org. And if you go on the website, there are different, you see the different little headings up there at the top. The home page, if you hit that one, it'll bring up like our background and so forth, and it'll give you their kids' church take-home page, what the children are learning today. I put that on the website. And over where it says from the pastor, I think, so that's worded. If you click that link, it'll take you to the article I wrote. It's actually the last day of a 21-day devotion I'm writing. What will happen when Jesus returns. So that'll give you some details. You can have it in writing. And then if you, please remember, there's an email link there. If you have prayer requests or praises or questions, please email me. I try to check those earlier in the mornings. And that way you have a contact, clmfamily.org. And so last week message, the messages are there. If you weren't here for those three commandments that we looked into last week, then they're all available on the website. It won't cost you anything but your time. So it's available to you. I said last week, four major events will take place when Jesus returns, or they'll be set in motion by his return. Here they are: the resurrections, the judgments, we'll look at those, Lord willing, today, and then next week, the kingdom of God on earth, and the new creation. So those are the four, and God gives us the promises of the second coming, I believe, for at least three reasons, if you want to write this down maybe in one sentence, that these promises are given to encourage us, to comfort us, and to give us hope. Promises of the second coming are given to encourage us to be faithful to God. They're given to comfort us when a Christian dies. And they're given to give us hope through the temptations and tribulations of this life that we're going to have. So to encourage us, comfort us, and give us hope, and I hope as we go through the message this morning, you'll see those, to encourage us, comfort us, and give us hope. Would you say that with me? To encourage us, comfort us, and give us hope. So thank God, faithfulness now brings blessings forever. Let me, if you want to stay right there in Revelation, I want to read a few verses to you from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, beginning in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we read these words, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." Ignorant there just means unaware. In other words, God wants us to know what's going on. "Concerning those who have fallen asleep." Again, we opened up the service with that scripture that talks about we should not all sleep. That's speaking of the sleep of death. The New Testament, many times when it talks about a Christian dying, it says they fell asleep. Like Lazarus, he fell asleep, Jesus went to wake him. Of course, he literally died. So he says, I don't want you to be unaware of what happens when a Christian dies, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, of course, we're human, we're going to sorrow. But God, we have hope. That's why I'm saying he wants to give us hope in the promises of the second coming. So he says this in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." How many of you, those words bless you because you do have a loved one who's already gone before you, and you know there's a great reunion coming? And how many of us here this morning? Thank God. That's what he says, comfort one another with these words. So when Jesus returns, all believers, those who have died, whose spirits are with him in heaven, and those who are alive are going to be caught up together here, the scripture says, to meet the Lord in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, when we see him, we shall be like him. And these temporal tents, these bodies that we live in, someone, there was a saying years ago, this old house ain't what it used to be. How many can relate? All the senior saints, no, I don't. Well, thank God, we're still here. Thank God. But we've got glorified bodies coming. And incorruptible, glorified bodies, the Bible says, just like his. There won't be any more sickness. There won't be any more cancer, no more heart disease, no more sinus, no more herniated backs, no more allergy, whatever, that God is going to give us glorified bodies and all that will be behind. And we will be together forever with the one who loved us and gave his life on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be forgiven and adopted into the family of God. Comfort one another with these words. Thank God that we're going to be together with him. And he says, comfort one another with these words. The Bible in the New Testament has over 20 of those one another commandments. And see, those one another commandments keep us from being like just self-focused, and they keep us engaged and involved, but they also give us the joy of serving. You know, serving the Lord is a privilege. And when we serve, we're blessed. And not only are we blessed in this life, the Bible says we lay up treasure in heaven when we do it with the right heart. So faithfulness now brings blessings forever. Would you say that with me? Faithfulness now brings blessings forever. Then after we meet the Lord in the air, that event is called the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, okay? But it's a Latin word that means a catching away or being caught up or being snatched up. So the idea is there. The word Bible is not in the Bible, but that doesn't mean it's wrong to say it, all right? So to say the rapture is not wrong, but there will be a time when we meet the Lord in the air. If you're there in Revelation 22, would you drop back to chapter 19? Revelation chapter 19. Because then we're going to return to the earth with the Lord, and he's going to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords from the city of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Let's read these verses in Revelation 19, beginning in verse 7. Revelation 19, 7. And I hope this will just encourage all of us today to be faithful, because we've got a great eternity coming. Verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready," speaking of the church. Verse 8, "And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Now, our righteousness comes from God himself if we know the Lord. We have no righteousness of our own. But then as we live it out, then that's what are the righteous acts. Then he says this, if you drop down to verse 11. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." And then verse 14, it says, "The armies in heaven clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Who are they? It's the saints who have gone on before, who've been clothed in the righteousness of the Lord, followed him on white horses. "And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So he's coming back, and we're going to be with him, and we will serve as his administrators throughout the earth during that 1,000-year period. God willing, we'll look into a little bit more detail on that next week. But I want to just show you one more scripture along this line, chapter 20. Chapter 20 and verses 5 and 6. Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6. It says, "But the rest of the dead," in other words, those who are not believers, "will not live until the 1,000 years is finished." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we talk about this resurrections. There are two, separated by 1,000-year period. There are two judgments, at least, for individuals. And I want to just mention this first one for the believers, and then we'll conclude with the other. When Jesus returns, we will all be judged by the truth and standard of the word of the Lord. This is going to be the guide that will judge us. I just look at it like that's important for us to know what it says, isn't it? If we're going to be, it's like knowing what the law is so that we don't break the law, even unintentionally. Now, we know we've all sinned and broken God's law, but we thank God that he loved us and gave himself for us so that we can be forgiven and still be with him forever. The Bible says this, if you want to just write it down, if you want to stay there in Revelation, I want to give you a few verses for time's sake. Again, if you want to write them, this is Jesus speaking about the judgment in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and I'll just start in verse 46. Jesus says these words, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day." So there are two separate judgments, one for believers, one for unbelievers. I'll give you the reference here if you want to write it down. 2 Corinthians 5:10 is the judgment for believers. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Believers, we as Christians will be judged, and we will either receive rewards or we will have loss of rewards based on how we live in this life. That's why I said faithfulness now brings blessings forever. Would you say that with me again? Faithfulness now brings blessings forever. Again, if you want to write it down, I'll read the scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So that word judgment seat is a Greek word, bema. It's similar to the Olympic Games. If you've seen the Olympic Games, we will be like victorious athletes receiving medals, but it won't be medals, at the medal ceremony. This judgment, the bema seat, is the seat that they use to win the Olympic Games, to give them the crown. Years ago, it was actually a literal leaf crown that just faded away, like sending flowers to a funeral. They last a few days and they're gone. And they did all that exercise and the discipline and everything to receive a crown that was not going to last. We're going to be like that receiving crowns, but our crowns are forever. Our blessings, our rewards are eternal. Thank God for that. And so he says it's like we're going to receive these rewards, and it's dependent on how we live right now as to what we receive. So again, let me give you a couple of verses, because our rewards, some of them are going to be in the form of crowns. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8 says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also those who have loved his appearing." If we're looking forward to the Lord's return, you know what you got coming? You got a crown. You've got a crown coming. At the back of the sanctuary, there's a painting. I've referred to this several times over the years. One of the first ministries we supported, it was called the Voice of the Martyrs. And the painting is a picture of Jesus like welcoming one of his own home. And if you notice, there is an angel behind him with a white robe to give him, like we've just read about. And Jesus is hugging, and the saint is kneeling down. And if you look in his hand, there are crowns in his hand. It's like he received the crowns, and he's saying, "Lord, you're the one who gave them to me. I'm giving you. I'm laying these before you." But that's what that picture represents, that we're receiving our rewards. And the Bible tells us at this judgment that it's not just our deeds that are going to be judged. It's our motive. It's our heart. The Bible says it'll be like going through fire, that if our motives are not right, if we're just doing it to, I want to impress people, I want others to see how spiritual I am, I'm going to do it to see what I can get out of it, kind of a, you know, that type of motive. The Bible compares that to wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll just be burned up. Jesus, remember what he said in the Sermon on the Mount? If you're just doing it to be seen by men, there you go. There's your reward. But he said, if you do it with the right heart, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And if our motives are right, it'll be like the Bible says, gold, silver, and precious stones going through that. It's just going to be purified if we do it to the glory of God. So there's another crown mentioned in James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So again, if we love the Lord, we'll receive that crown. Looking forward to his return, we receive a crown just for serving him and being faithful. And then before we look at one last scripture in Revelation, I want to give you this verse. It's in 2 John. 2 John is only one chapter. And the Bible says this in 2 John, again, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. We read these words. "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you heard from the beginning, you should walk in it, to walk in love." Verse 7, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Verse 8, "Look to yourselves." Would you turn to somebody next to you and just say, "Look to yourselves"? "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." I would say this, let's get our full blessing. Let's get our full reward. That's what I'm saying. It's faithfulness now brings blessings forever. So let's get everything that God has for us. Let's live for His glory and honor. We'll be rewarded in that day. Then we come to the part where there is another resurrection and judgment for unbelievers. And we read these words in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. Remember, believers, the judgment seat of Christ, this one is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20, verse 11 says this, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened." Notice books, plural. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works." But now notice this last verse, verses 14 to 15. The Bible says this, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Remember we read earlier that blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection, because the second death will have no claim on you. Verse 15, here's the bottom line. "Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The key is, the issue is not just, well, I had good deeds outweigh bad deeds or anything like that. It simply is my name in the book of life. And here's how we get our name in the book of life, because sin is in our hearts. It's infected us all, and sin separates us from a holy God. Sin is a terminal condition spiritually. But there's good news. Sin would separate us from God in this life and the life to come. But there's a great physician. He's the great physician. And he not only has the cure, he is the cure, and he's never lost a patient. And so if we simply will believe the testimony of Scripture that, yes, I've sinned, I admit it, I need a Savior, but I believe Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. He suffered and died on the cross to pay for my sins, and he conquered death 3 days later, and he's alive right now. And just simply respond to the drawing of God's Spirit with faith in our heart to confess Jesus as Lord. The Bible says we are forgiven, we are made righteous, his Spirit indwells us, and we have the assurance that we are healed from terminal sin and spiritual death, and we will be with him forever. Faithfulness now brings blessings forever. As I was thinking about this, because it's, you know, I was thinking about a doctor. It doesn't bring me joy to read about people being separated from God forever in a place that Jesus said was prepared for the devil and his angels. We care about people, man. We don't want to see that happen. And we love people. But yet, I believe we have to know what we're saved from. About this year, it will be 10 years, I had surgery on my shoulder. And when I went back for the biopsy, she wouldn't have helped me if she said, well, I don't want him to feel bad. I don't want to mess up his day. I'm just going to tell him everything's okay. Well, I'm just imagining this now, okay? But if she would have done that, she could have left something in me that would have taken my life. So as nice as she was, and she told me, you know, we don't think it's in your lymph nodes or anything like that. And I was, you know, at the time, I wouldn't even expect anything. I was just like, I had a blessed ignorance. So I was like, I didn't know. She was putting her hand on my shoulder, trying to comfort me. And thankfully it was caught early. It's been removed and I've been 10 years clean. But so in that sense, I almost feel like I have to share the terminal condition, but it's not all. I like sharing the good news that there is hope. We have a living hope because Jesus conquered death, and he changes hearts, he changes lives, and he works in us all through this life. He helps us live for him, and then he rewards us like we did it all. Faithfulness now brings blessings forever. If you want to just write this last scripture reference down, I'll read it to you. It's in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Last verses, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Remember, the promises of the second coming were written and given to us to encourage us to be faithful to God, comfort us when a loved one dies, and to give us hope through the tribulations and through the tests and temptations and trials of this life. The Bible says, Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Let me pause right there just a second, because grace can be misunderstood. Grace is not an excuse to sin. I can't just say, well, yeah, I know I'm living, you know, out of God's will, and I'm okay, but God is, he loves me and is gracious. He does love you, and he is gracious, but his grace helps us to do what's right, not excuse for what we do wrong. Now, he is merciful when we sin, but we thank God for grace that helps us. Notice what the scripture says. Grace teaches us to live godly right now, right here in this present age. And then he says in verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Would you read that verse out loud with me, verse 13? "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Then verse 14 says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." We have a blessed hope through the temptations and trials of this life, and our faithfulness now will be rewarded. It will bring blessings forever. And he says that he wants to redeem for himself a people zealous, passionate about doing good works. Our works do not make us righteous, but when we are made righteous by the blood of Jesus and what he did for us by his perfect sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, then out of gratitude, we want to live for him. And as we do good works. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Thank God for every blessing in this life. But for us, we know the Lord, our best days are yet to come. Faithfulness now brings blessings forever, and not just for us. May the Lord help us to live faithfully now, to be faithful when we want to quit, faithful when we're angry, faithful when we're down, faithful when we fall, faithful to get back up, just stay in. Here's what it really comes down to. We got to stay close fellowship with the Lord. I was reading about a lady who has a dog. It was an older dog that has, you know, kind of losing some of its sight and hearing. And they had gone out on a horseback, I think she was. Anyway, they realized they were getting near a cliff, and she called him because he was going on without her. She needed to put a leash on him. And he went in the exact opposite direction. And she's all looking for him and everything, but she knew he couldn't hear well. He couldn't see well. And when she finally went over this one hill, the dog came bounding back toward her. And she called the dog's name, and she said, "You've got to stay close to be safe." And as a Christian, she related that to her walk with the Lord. And that morning, she said, "I just didn't feel like I connected with God in a prayer time." And she said, "Lord, help me. I need your presence every day. Help me to just pray and to just seek your presence until I know that you're with me, and to start my day that way." But isn't that true for all of us? We've got to stay close to be safe, so we don't drift away where we shouldn't and into sin and whatever else. Stay close to be safe. And then not just for us, may the Lord help us to be burdened for people who don't know him, and may the Lord help us to reach out to them so that we can draw them to this great physician and the Savior as well. That's part of being faithful. Wouldn't it be a blessing to stand before the Lord one day, and not only that we've served him for ourselves, but we've prayed for others, and we've sought to share testimony with others, and maybe even have others alongside us. We had the opportunity and privilege to lead to the Lord. What a blessing that's going to be. Faithfulness now. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Faithfulness now brings blessings forever. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Could we just look to the Lord right now? If you would just join me as we focus on Him. Lord, you said no one knows the day or hour of your return, so that's not an issue to us. We'll trust your timing. But Lord, we always want to be ready to meet you. So Lord, may you help us right now. I pray that you would even, maybe someone right now doesn't yet know you. I pray that you would draw by your Spirit right now to say, I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I want to know God, and I want to be with him forever in heaven. Lord, if that's someone today, whether it's here or maybe someone watching or listening, I pray, would your Spirit just draw them even right now and let them just be honest, just come to you and say, God, I know I've sinned. I'm sorry. I ask you, forgive me. I believe you are Lord. Jesus, I confess you as Lord right now, and I receive you. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you. And Lord, I want to pray this for myself. I pray that you would help me to lead more people to you. I know I'm not the Savior, but I want to. I want to be available. I want to draw people to you. I want to see them get started in a new life. I want to see them grow and be discipled and follow you. So Lord, help me. Help me to be fruitful for you in that way. And just before we sing this last chorus, if you would just keep your eyes closed for just a moment, heads bowed. If you would say, Brother Rocky, I want a closer walk with the Lord. I've sensed maybe a little conviction even of God in my heart right now that just to stay close to him in these days in which we live. I'd like to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up right there where you are? And thank you so much. Thank you for your honesty. Lord bless you all. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Father, you see, my brothers and sisters, what a blessing, Lord, that their heart is to serve you as well. Lord, to be closer to you. Lord, it's always something seemed like pulling us away. But Lord, you are our anchor. Thank you, Jesus. Would you say, Lord, you are my anchor through the storms and temptations of life. I'm thankful. I can count on you. You are faithful to me. Help me. Draw me close. Help me to be faithful to you for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name.